Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to do this song. It's called You Waited.
You came out your way. You sat down to speak to me. What amazing grace that you've shown. So patiently, and you waited for me, just for me. Oh. This amazing grace you've shown, so patiently, you've shown, so patiently, and
Yeah.
so patiently, and you wait for me, for me. Oh, you
welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and I would like to thank you all for joining me, and thank you so much for your patience. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're pressing our way through. Thank you so much for joining me as we celebrate our guest today. And her name is Angela Williams. And the topic of this episode is defeating domestic violence with movement. Eloquently speaking about a very therapeutic program called Defeating Domestic Violence with Movement. This consists of a 4-week starter program for victims who have suffered domestic violence and wish to learn how to recover and live a life of mental wellness. And the founder of this program is Angela Williams. Angela is a phenomenal counselor and dance instructor that is very passionate about helping others. Angela is also the author of How to Cure Non-Deadly Illnesses with the Dance Ministry. So at this time, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others Angela Williams. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm listening to you talk, and I keep hearing my name. I'm just, like, giggling and just tickle pink, but I'm blessed to be in your show this afternoon. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. And I mean every word that I said, because even though it is an interview, this is an opportunity to celebrate you for all of your accomplishments and to celebrate you for pursuing all of your dreams. Now, throughout the interview, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but one of the things that I want to highlight, I had an opportunity to participate with Angela's program, and I got to know her. And anybody that's listening today, you are going to be so encouraged and so motivated to tap into all of the projects that you started and you didn't finish. And you will not make any excuses, because you have greatness inside of you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that's just what I get from her. She's very positive, and she has pursued all of her dreams in spite of the trials and tribulations that come in and out of our lives. And on that note, Angela, I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and I just want you to talk to us and tell us about you and how you got started in this field.
My journey began back in 1997 at a church called Bethlehem Community Church. I was in my early 20s, just graduated. I think I was in college, Kane College. And I was afforded the opportunity to lead a dance ministry. Now, coming out of a professional dance ensemble, it was very foreign to me, the word dance ministry. So I had to learn the difference between performance and ministry. And thank God for the oldest seasoned saints that taught me that biblical foundation is a must. You just can't come in to a church setting with a professional mindset. You're going to have to switch you have to transform your thinking and make it very God-like, because you're ministering to the hearts of people. It's about healing and deliverance. It's not about choreography and performance and technique. This is the time for you to get in the Word of God, realize that it's spiritual warfare wherever you are assigned, and you're fighting for souls to be healed, delivered, and saved. So, yes, my journey began back in 1997.
That's very powerful, what you just said, because, and this is not taken away from any organization, any ministry, but they made it perfectly clear that we want a biblical foundation here. And I think that's so important today, because dance is part of the creative arts, and it falls under, you know, that prophetic anointing in that category. And how can we participate in something that God has given us to do without including him in it with his word? Mm-hmm. And when I first saw your video, you elaborated on the word of God before you even demonstrated the dance movement that you were teaching. And that's what really drew me to you, because you wasn't just teaching the dance. You was teaching the word that was associated with the dance and the movement to help all of your students learn why they're doing what they're doing. And as an instructor, how has that impacted or helped change and mature your students that participate with your classes, as well as those that you help, the dance leaders?
I remember years ago, I used to consult at different churches and teaching dance. And I remember always opening up within a circle of prayer. So I remember asking, you know, the students or the dance members, you know, to, and they were children, to lead in prayer. And as I watched, the prayers were just so empty and not connected at such a young age. And I'm looking around, and it wasn't a disrespectful thing, but I saw the disconnection and knew that they really didn't understand the foundation and the significance of praise and worship. So it was right there and then I did a free sample workbook that connected scriptures to movement. And it was from there that I said, you can't be a praise dancer if you do not have an understanding of, one, who you're praising, two, why you're praising, and the significance of what we do. It's all a part of praise and worship. We praise and we worship God because of who he is and how he just blesses us on a day-to-day basis. It is about an intimate relationship. So from there, consulting with different churches, it was very important to teach dance members what they are doing. It's not about performance. It is about a spiritual daily connection.
And can you elaborate on that for those that, because the church is kind of divided when it comes to praise dance. Some people feel as though it's a part of worship, and then some people feel like it's just moving your hands and your arms. You're not really dancing. And then some people just really don't like it at all. But what is the difference? And what does God say? I'm hitting you with two questions. What is the difference? And then what does God say about dance? Because it's all in the Bible.
The difference, it's all about a mindset. So, and I came from that mindset, so I definitely understand, especially if you're professionally trained in dance, you're so focused on the choreography and the unity and how it looks when you're in this uniform and the timing of the music and presentation that you really forget that you're ministering to people. You forget about the words and how they minister to the heart of people and how they break yokes. So from a choreographic perspective, I understand. But once you get the dynamic, the importance, once you plug in and you build that relational foundation with God, like spending time behind closed doors with God, studying scriptures, having prayer, fasting. Once you have a dialogue, not a monologue like, oh God, just bless this man so it looks good. No, once you sit down with your word and you're listening to God and you're getting instructions, then he changes your whole program and your whole mindset. So for me, that was my journey. And it took years. God let me know it's not about performance. You're giving a message. You're teaching people through movement what praise is when they're depressed. You're teaching people how to tap into the power of worship when they begin to mentally doubt who they are. They begin to lose their way. You are reminding them that we are not of the world, that we are supposed to transform our thinking with the mind of God. So I do get both perspectives of how you can just get caught up in choreography and lose sight of God's word. But the key is you must study before you go into the church walls and before your dance team. You must have an intimate relationship with God as a dance leader.
Wow, that is so powerful, and I hear your passion, and I'm getting excited. And that last part that you said, it's no different than a Sunday school teacher studying to prepare her lesson before she goes before her class, or the pastor preparing his message before he goes to minister the word of God. And what I love, Angela, is you are a minister of dance. And so you're not in the pulpit, but you're still up front. You're in that front line, and all of the praise dancers are. But they're ministers, and God has given us all of the dancers. God has given us a unique way to Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, you do a wonderful job teaching people the different movements and even the biblical definitions of praise and worship in the different movements, lifting your hands, spinning around. And you could give some of the technical names as we get in more into the interview. But for a moment, I want to share a little bit of your biography so that our listeners can learn about your background.
Yes.
Angela Williams' educational background consists of a bachelor's in psychology from Kent College in 1996 and a master's in creative arts therapy, dance movement therapy from Pratt University in 2016. She also received her certification as autism movement therapist back in 2014. Angela's professional dance background consists of studying at the Newark Performance School of the Arts that is located in Newark, New Jersey at the age of 6, where Angela studied ballet, jazz, modern dance, and African dance. From there, she performed professionally with King College Dance Ensemble for 2 years. After graduation, she formed her own local dance ensemble called Tribe Judah. Years later, her last professional performance was the New York City Ballet back in 2011. So the Tribe of Judah Dance Ensemble started in 1996 at a local church called Bethlehem Community Church. It was this birthing place where she learned the difference between performance and ministry. Under many years of tutelage of mentors and ministers, she developed a curriculum called Think Outside the Box, where she teaches biblical principles, scriptures, and devotionals coupled through technical movement. Other ministries include Defeating Domestic Violence with Movement, where it consists of a 4-week starters program for victims who have suffered domestic violence and wish to learn how to recover and live a life of mental wellness. And for all of our listeners, I chose to open up with just talking to Angela and asking her a couple of questions so that we could go into her bio, because I wanted you to hear what she shared with us thus far, but then share her background. So she has a very extensive background with dance. And if you are listening and you have a question, please press 1 and we will get you on the mic where you can present your question to Angela. Comment if you have words of encouragement, you just want to love on her, you are more than welcome to join us on the mic. So Angela, at this time, I want to talk about your motivation to dance. And it says, at the age of 6, you studied ballet and jazz and modern dance. So tell me what it was like as a small girl going to dance class. And did you ever dream that you would be where you are today when you first started?
No, I did not. Just listening to you read my bio, I said, oh my God, I've done a lot. At the age of 6, growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist church, my mom was very on board and supportive of the creative arts. My mom's a singer in the choir, but she knew, or she placed me in dance because I just needed something to do. I guess I was always dancing around the house with these 45 records of Stevie Wonder under my arms and just jumping up and down in the bed pretending to fly, but I was always singing and dancing. So I guess her seeing that energy was, I need to put this girl in a dance class because she's just all over the place and doing too much. Being that young, just loving to move and being around other kids where I was learning technique, and then every year in Newark, New Jersey, we would perform at Symphony Hall. So that was just a beautiful experience to be on stage in costume and then have the music blasting throughout the stages and having families in the audience cheering you on and things like that. So it was just a beautiful, innocent and nostalgic childlike memory that I would always cherish and thank my parents for doing. I noticed as I was getting older, graduating from high school in my freshman year in college, I noticed that people weren't as passionate as dance as I was. And I couldn't figure out, well, why are you quitting dance? You just did this last year. How come you don't love it like you used to? So it was at that moment when I learned that dance is for some people and it's not for others. But I didn't put two and two together and realize that for me, it would be my form of ministry to others. I never saw dance as being an outlet or a channel to minister healing, deliverance. So God knew what he was doing all the way back then. It just took a process, a 27-year process of molding me and teaching me and mentoring me into what he wants as a vessel of movement to minister the gospel of Christ.
Amen. You know, that is so excited, and I hear the excitement in your voice. And as I was reading your bio, you said you were saying, oh, you know, I've accomplished a lot. And you have. And that's why I call this a celebration, an opportunity to celebrate you for all of your accomplishments. So let's move to the certification that you received for autism when you became an autism movement therapist. What exactly is that? And how, just tell us more about that, then I'll ask my next question.
Okay. Autism Movement Therapy, I got certified in 2014. This was actually through grad school. I was doing night shift with, I worked in a lot of residential homes with, you know, children and things like that. And suddenly the job description shifted. They forced us to work with autistic kids. Now, everybody was afraid, didn't know what autism was. We've always had this negative perspective that they were out of control, they were violent, nonverbal, banging their heads against the wall. Like, we weren't trained. So how in the world can we, who were just regular workers, suddenly switch to behavior analysts to deal with? So the more that I began to work with this population, I did notice the spectrum and how they would react nonverbally if they were in pain or they were frustrated or irritable. They couldn't speak it, so they were very aggressive. But if they were okay and they wanted something to eat or if they wanted to be comfort, they would show actions of movements, you know, wanting a hug, like walking up to you and just hugging you or sitting next to you and rocking back and forth. So to fast forward, when I was in grad school, I said, there's got to be some type of scientific explanation of how movement can calm them down and help them verbalize what they are doing. So I remember one night I was dealing with a very Caucasian female. She was 11 or 12. She stood at 6 feet, and she was huge. So here I am, this little woman, watching this patient at night, and she wouldn't sleep. So she was constantly up in her room, back and forth, banging on the walls, and just screaming and things like that. And then I noticed she had a CD of Taylor Swift. She would put in the CD and she would play that music and she would rock back and forth. When I saw that, I was amazed because I saw how music and movement can make an aggressive patient become so calm and so stable. And the more I watched her, that just prompted me to go and get my certification and actually do a thesis on how movement can really enhance and help nonverbal autistic children to become more stable in their emotions and to become more social and to become more calm during stressors.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it's so amazing how God works. And for those that are listening that may have autistic children, are you still in that field of work or do you have any referrals for them for similar programs if you're not?
I do have that. I do have referrals, but I also do classes myself. So what I've done over the past couple of summers, I was reporting, it was only by God's grace, and I loved the opportunity that I had. I was able to teach summer camp within autistic children, and it was a classroom of like maybe 15 to 25 kids. Of course, their helpers were there, so what I was trained to do was just to play the music and to teach them movement in a contained and choreographed fashion. Though they couldn't talk, they loved to move. So it was very repetitious. And then once they moved, I would sit them in a circle and then I would ask them to say their name and then point to the person next to them. And that foundation or technique is called turn and talk. So once I prompted them to speak their name, they would say their name, and then I would point to them and tell them to point to the next person, and then that person would go on, and then so on, like duck, duck, goose. So each individual would go on their name.
That is amazing. And how rewarding was that to you? Like, what did you personally receive from teaching them movement and how to interact a different way?
Oh, my God, Stacey. So it was in Tenafly, New Jersey. The parents would peek in, and they were just so amazed. They was like, I can't believe that you got my child to move across the dance floor, he doesn't act this way or she doesn't act this way at home. So I always said, well, what do you mean? I said, because they're a whole different person in this classroom. They're laughing, they're moving so profoundly. I was just really flattered and overjoyed when they saw the transformation and the difference of how they act at home versus what they did within their classroom. So hearing those types of responses and seeing the joy on the parents' faces was very, very rewarding. And to see the kids themselves just smile and just, you know, open up and things like that was rewarding as well.
That is so amazing. Thank you so much for just what you do. There's, you know, both of us, we deal with words.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm listening to you, healing is standing out to me. And God has really blessed you with a wonderful and a unique gift of healing where he's able to heal people in non-traditional ways through movement and through dance. And you just told us about the autism movements with the children and how the parents were amazed that, you know, their children were actually participating and smiling. And that is truly a gift because everyone cannot do that. So you have touched the lives of these small children that are autistic and they just need to learn in a different way. So let's transition to the domestic violence, because God has also gifted you in that area, which brings us back to the title of today's show, which is Defeating Domestic Violence with Movement. Time, tell us what it is and then how you actually were led in this direction.
Funny short story, I was so desperate to get off the night shift, I was just looking for a job to pay the bills. And I wanted to start my career as a therapist. So God bless Open Doors, and there was an opening in Camden, New Jersey. The organization is called PALS, Peace, a Learned Solution. Now, here it is. Yes, I have a dance background. I have my graduate degree as a creative arts movement therapist. Now I have the chance and the opportunity to use the tool set and what I learned in school. Like I said, this is my first opportunity in this domestic violence world. I was so used to working with behavioral and autistic kids, I never knew anything about domestic violence. Signed up for the job, thank God I got hired. I've been doing it for the past 3, going on 4 years. Did my 40 hours of training as a domestic violence counselor. And then it was until I started seeing clients, the power of movement. And like you said, the key word is healing. So all those years of training and dancing and just studying the Word of God, coupled with what I've learned in school, God finally showed me ministry. And I begin to teach these women and children the power of healing through movement. It just blessed me so much and brought me to tears. So speaking to clients who were coming from an abusive verbal, physical background, having them in that session and doing movement where they experienced suppression, where they were trapped in their past and experienced bitterness and anger, and to have movement bring them out of that of freedom and victory, and having them restore and gain back their power was the most, and to this day, presently, the most powerful God experience that I can ever be a part of. So to me, it is a blessing.
Okay. And for those, thank you so much for sharing that. Now, defeating domestic violence through movement. Can you explain to our audience what domestic violence is?
I did a 21-day challenge inspired by you. just talking about the different facets of domestic violence. So domestic violence isn't just physical, it's verbal, it's financial, it's emotional. And what it is the abuser or the perpetrator who preys on the victim. So they use verbal abuse, they use belittling, they use name calling. It is just a play of power to steal that person's identity. That is domestic violence. So it's not always physical, where the male or the female, because a lot of people think it's just the male. No, it's the female as well. Physical violence would be the abuser hitting you, punching you, kicking you. That is physical violence. Verbal abuse would be the name calling, the cursing, the degrading, just destroying your God-given identity of who you are. The emotional abuse would be the stresses of constantly wearing you down to a point where you give up, you no longer have faith in who you are, and you lose your identity. Financial abuse would be when the abuser takes the hard-earned money that you worked for, steals it from you, and put it in his or her account and don't give you anything, or they'll give you a minimum of weekly allowance that you can barely survive. And the key of that when it comes to financial abuse is power and control. So being that they can't break you verbally, emotionally, or physically, what they'll do, they'll use the tool of money to keep you in an atmosphere of entrapment to control you. So there's many different facets of domestic violence. And God has used me as a vessel of healing to help them remember who they were and to restore the power and identity that they once had.
Now, as a licensed therapist and a counselor and then a dance instructor, how do you blend all of this together? Because I know that there is there's the counseling part where you actually talk, and then there's also the movement. Tell our audience how you use everything to help promote healing and to also empower your client to drive the bus. And I'm using drive the bus because in domestic violence, that's I've had the training as well, but we teach others how to take back their authority and learn how to drive the bus and make their own decisions. And because a lot of times people that are in domestic violence situations, whether it is the emotional, the verbal, the physical, the financial, the fear to lose their voice.
Mm-hmm.
And once they lose their voice, they tend to isolate themselves and fear trickles in, and they're afraid to advocate for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, when they actually get to the point where they're ready to go to see someone, to talk to someone, they're ready to open up. So how do you break the ice for that first time appointment with that person? And then you could connect that with just blending it all together to...
I have been fortunate enough to get clients that were ready to do the work immediately. So I would ask them, you know, about who they were, and they always discussed themselves as a parent. So then I would ask the question, and I'm very, like, wordy like you. I had this dry erase board at work where I would do these visual maps, and I would take notes, and then I would write down all that they described as a parent, as a mother, and all the things that they do for their children and family. And then I will draw a circle and I will put the word in capital letters, who are you? And once I put that up there, I always get this blank look and this hesitation and silence. And I ask the question, I said, are you okay? What's wrong? And they say, that's a good question. I used to do such and such. I used to be such and such. So I go, okay, how can we get back to that? There is a tool that I use called past, present, these blocks. So I took three blocks. One represented the past. One represented the present. One represented the future. So I started them in their beginning journey in the past where they were always talking about their pain and the abuse. And then I would ask them, okay, how can you walk out of that to your present? Because you're making the preparations to heal yourself. You're no longer the victim. You are in the process of gaining back your power. So can you show me, while you're walking, the steps that you took to get to your present? So as they were walking from the past to the present block, I noticed that their bodies begin to elevate. They begin to lift up their heads and open their chests. And once they did that, I stopped them and I pinpointed and I asked them and I showed them, do you know what you just did? So they were amazed, like, well, what did I do? I didn't do anything. I said, you walked with your head up towards your present freedom. You just showed me that you took the power and authority to do something better. You explained to me what you did in your story, how you were locked in your past. But I just showed you how you took the steps of therapy and you took the authority and you made the decision to work on yourself. So I had them standing on that present block. I would ask the questions, what are your goals towards the future? Because my goal as a therapist is to get you to your place of freedom. So then I would go to the third block and I would stand on it and I represented the future. So as I'm standing on the blocks, I would raise my hand slowly in a V-like shape and say, my goal for you is to guide you to your freedom, where you experience your power, where you experience restoration, where you look back and say, I did this all by myself, and nobody stopped me, not my abuser, not the abuser's friends and family. I had the power to do this on my own. So it was through movement as they walked through each phase of their life that I saw that they were smiling, and they were encouraged. And they had the strength and the confidence to move forward. And I always did this thing where they felt that they need to go back and talk about what they've been through. I would send them back to the past, like, oh, I got to send you 10 steps back. I said, you just made it to the present, but you're so locked into your past as if you are in prison. So I would make them go back to the past, sit in front of the block on the floor, and then imagine that they were in this prison cell. And then I remind them of the steps that they took backwards. And I tell them, you just made a couple of steps forward, just acknowledging how you've made the mistake of giving your past that power. When you do that, you are giving your abuser the power and you're giving him the key to put you back in that cage. So again, as you're sitting on the floor in this past block, how can you take back the keys from your prison person, after you take back the keys, open up the door, get out the prison, stay out the prison, and then go back to your present. So it was a lot of walking and a lot of hand raising and telling them to lift up your head, raise your chest, open your chest, because that is a sign of authority. That is a sign of restoration that you are powerful. So it's those little the small steps that I encourage them to do movement in.
That is powerful. I'm just encouraged listening to you. Now, I want to take this opportunity to ask you to share your contact information and tell our listeners about your Defeating Domestic Violence program, what it consists of, and how they can register for the program. And for those of you that are listening, please, no worries about COVID-19. You can participate with Angela's courses virtually. So I'm going to turn the mic over to her so that she can give us that contact information.
You can find me on Instagram. It's DDVM Movement. Or you can just email me, because I know it's, and I'm very key on confidentiality. I do not spread your business. Once you email me, we can start sessions right away, and it's all virtual. So no matter where you are, Maryland, Virginia, Washington, all you have to do is just email me at awilliam, that's awilliam 4000 at gmail.com. Again, that's awilliam, awilliam 4000. At gmail.com. Once you email me, I will send you all the information. Sessions are 45 minutes long. Sometimes they go over, like maybe 5 minutes extra, but I do guarantee you safety. I guarantee you healing. I guarantee you confidence in a life-changing alteration within your mental, within your physical body. And within your spiritual healing. And it's not just for Christian faith-based people. It's for everyone, men, women, and children. So as soon as you personally email me wanting to help, and it doesn't have to be domestic violence. It could just be you need a tool set to de-stress, or you need to just relax, or you're just having a stressful time and you want something to relax you. I give the tool set and the coping skills to help you get to a place of wellness. And I know during this COVID-19 era, it has been a blessing to others and a curse for some. So, again, you can email me at awilliam4000@gmail.com, and then I send all that information to you. And, again, I can't say it enough. It is only through the grace of God that He used me as a vessel that I guarantee safety, confidentiality, a life-transforming transformation and mental wellness within that 45-minute session. And it is a 4-week program. And if you wish to continue, there are ways that I can work with you to continue even after the 4 weeks.
Okay, thank you so much for providing that information. Now, could you please also provide all of your social media information so that they can support you, and also for the dancers, they'll be able to see some of your teaching videos and reach out if they want to take some of the classes with you. So I know we're covering a lot of things, but I want you to really take advantage of this opportunity to share your information.
Okay. My Instagram for Praise Dancers is P-O-B Praise Dance 1. For Praise Dancers, that is P-O-B, Praise Dance 1. If you are involved in domestic violence, my Instagram handle is D as in David, D as in Doctor, V as in Victory, Movement. So it's DDV Movement on Instagram. Again, my email address is awilliam4000@gmail.com. My YouTube, give me 1 second. I'm trying to bring that up right now. I wasn't really prepared. My YouTube channel, actually, it's out of the box, Angela Williams. All my materials will come up. So if you go on YouTube, you go under search, and you type in Think Outside the Box, Angela Williams, you will see hundreds of videos of me. And it's Think Outside the Box Praise Dance. I'm sorry. Think Outside the Box Praise Dance. Within the YouTube search, and you'll see all my liturgical dance videos that teaches about scriptures, choreography, different dance techniques, how to turn devotionals into dance to keep your dance team interested. I do remember going to consulting with different churches, how the dancer would just become so bored when you read scriptures, or you had them talk about scriptures. So I came up with different ideas for dance leaders to turn scriptures into movement and to relate it to stories and make it more fun so they could be interested in scriptures while they dance. So again, if you go to YouTube and you put in the search think outside the box praise dance, you'll see me come up in the box, and I have tons and tons of tutorial videos, and I also offer a free sample workbook for you and your praise team.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that information. And I want to go back to the domestic violence for a moment, because I was going to ask you a question about men, but you also brought that out. So you provide services for men, for women, for children, and any nationality, any religion. There's no one that you will turn away, because your heart is just gold and you love helping people. I want to talk about men for a moment, because domestic violence has increased in that area for men. And a lot of people are not aware of the numbers of men that are in domestic violent relationships. And a lot of them are not aware of the programs that are available to them. So have you had any, has any men attended your program?
Surprisingly, yes. I've seen two that has attended our program. And what's sad is statistically, there are 1 in 10 men in the United States that experience domestic violence, whether it be sexual, physical, emotional. And the way society is, they believe that because they are men, that they're masculine, and that they're so strong and that they're dominant, that they can't become hurt. So society has deemed men as these emotional creatures that are always in control and don't experience any type of pain, and that's not true. What the female abuser will do, depending on her temperament, will use words to degrade his masculinity by saying, well, you're not anything and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and I can find someone way better than you. And here it is, this poor guy is working his butt off to provide for his family, but you have this nasty-mouthed woman who continues to demasculate his identity and play on his self-esteem and just strip away his identity as a man. And as a man, I know for a fact that that is very hurtful. Number one, because you are human. And number two, men think differently because they are providers. And they're protectors. And to have somebody constantly in your ear demasculating that and degrading that and seeing it as very little, you definitely destroy the male persona. Even physically, when the female takes her hand and slaps him in the face, a slap in the face is a sign of degrading somebody. It is a sign of disrespect. That's like just spitting in somebody's face and saying that you are worth nothing to me. So there are a lot of men behind closed doors who experience that stuff, and they're ashamed to come out and say it because of society. Well, I'm a man, and I'm going to look very weak if I tell somebody, or if I refer it as this 105-pound woman, and I can't keep her in control. So I'm just going to stay behind closed doors, not say anything, become real angry, and repress all that anger and depression, which may lead to drinking, which may lead to drugs, or just an aggressive behavior where they're lashing out at everybody because they're so uncomfortable and so unhappy within their household. So it is very rare. I'm sorry, I take that back. It's very prominent that men do experience domestic violence, and women can be abusers. So it's not about gender. It's not about strength. People who suffer, especially the abusers that have this mindset, because they're hurt people as well. So hurt people hurt other people, and it's about power and control. So there are females that do want to control men, and the vices that they use is physical, emotional, financial, and verbal abuse, because, again, it's all about control. And, again, it's 1 in 10 men in the United States that experience domestic violence.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That was powerful and so very true. The number one
thing that kills the spirit of a man. His countenance, his confidence is put down.
Mm-hmm.
The negative words, everything that you just said, the verbal abuse. But when a man is insulted by his significant other and she mixes that with rejection, it pushes him to a place that it also pushes a female. For so long, mm-hmm. society have only focused on the women. And even when I first started, I was focusing on the women. And then I had a man that reached out to me and was like, how come you don't talk about domestic violence from a man's perspective? And I think I talked to you mm-hmm. about this. And I said, well, I really don't know. But men are not as open as women are. But this is mm-hmm. a topic I would love to bring you back just to totally focus on men and try and get some men, you know, to join us in a roundtable discussion to help bring awareness, because a lot of men have been torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And when they no longer feel confident, it affects everything that they do. And the children.
Mm-hmm.
And the children, if he's beat down so bad and the children are following the steps of the mother, they'll start to disrespect the father. So he begins to internalize so many things. But I have learned that a lot of men have been rejected from their
mm-hmm.
youth. And they have matured, and so has the rejection. So the roots are thick, and they're intertwined with everything else that has happened. Women, the time to reach out to her channel, or you can reach out to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we'll make sure that we help you get the help that you need. Silently suffering. Many women are silently suffering. Many children and young adults are silently suffering. And one of the reasons that I presented Angela Williams to you today in this wonderful program that she sponsors, Defeating Domestic Violence Through Movement, is to help you find creative ways in a non-traditional way to bring forth and promote healing in your own life. So if you are listening and anything said today has touched you, if any of the topics so far caused you to shed a tear or you felt some relief or maybe something that may have triggered you. Either way you have responded, God sent Angela here today so that you can hear her and so that you can connect with her and tap into a whole nother level of healing that will help you to become all that God created you to be. God loves all of us, and he doesn't want us to suffer alone. He doesn't want us to suffer at all. He cares about all of us. But sometimes we need to find a safe place where we can go to receive help. And all throughout the interview, Angela was saying safety, confidence. And I personally want to let you know that she means every word that she's saying. So if you are looking for a safe place, I invite you to get in contact with Angela. And you can reach her on Instagram. You can reach her on YouTube. Think Outside the Box. And now we're
praise
going
dance.
To say that again.
Think Outside the Box Praise Dance.
Okay, Think Outside the Box Praise Dance. So now,
mm-hmm.
Angela, we're going to turn the mic back over to you. You recently wrote a book
which we're going to do a totally different interview with you in January. But please tell us about the name of your book and what inspired you to write this book.
That's a funny story. I wrote this book during a fasting period while I was in after grad school. So the book is called How to Cure 9 Deadly Illnesses Within Your Dance Ministry. It is a 4-week devotional that pinpoints 10 attitudes a praise dance leader has that can destroy their dance ministry. One of them is jealousy, having a competitive attitude, and how they use that attitude to destroy their dancers and their ministry. A lot of times, whatever issues they are going through that hasn't been resolved or healed within the background of a worship relationship with God, it has manifested into something negative. And they take what they have experienced in their personal life and it spills over into the ministry. And a lot of times they don't realize it. They don't realize how they react towards their dancers. So they have this attitude of, well, I'm the leader. Do what I say. Don't ask me any questions. It is what it is. And a lot of times that affects the dancers and it messes up that horizontal relationship. What I mean by horizontal, it's no longer a group setting. It becomes like this dictatorship. And I've listened to dancers and they're heartbroken and they don't understand what is going on. They are missing that loving, educational, nurturing component from the dance leader. So I'm helping dance leaders do an internal check-in, an emotional check-in of what they're going through in their personal life and showing them how it's spilling over and killing their ministry. One of the 5 deadly traps that a dance leader can have to kill their ministry is lack of study, lack of personal praise and worship at home, a poor attitude, laziness, and then the last deadly one is stagnation. The 4 first components will all lead to stagnation. And when you become stagnant, it puts you in a place of not caring. You do your job halfway. You don't care. It's all about you. And then you forget about your mission and it dies out. And I speak from experience with that because I did not have an understanding or a true disciplined relationship with God behind closed doors. So I became stagnant and I saw how Tribe of Judah members dropped off one by one. And God pulled me to the side and said, you know what, you're going to sit down for a couple of years until you learn how to tap into the worship, listen to me, and understand that it's not about performance, it is about ministry. And thank God that he sat me down and taught me that, which is why I was able to develop the curriculum and also write this book. So again, it focuses on an eternal emotional check-in of what dance leaders are experiencing internally, but not realizing that what they're experiencing in their personal life is spilling over to the ministry and is killing it in these 9 different ways.
Wow. That is powerful. And just listening to you, that can be applied. Anybody that reads that book and they're in leadership, that can help with any ministry. Because sometimes it flows over, you know? That is really, really good. And I'm going to get as many people that I can that's in the dance ministry to join us for the next interview, where it's going to be totally dedicated to your book, to celebrate you for writing your book, and congratulations. And
thank you so much.
And Angela, you know, throughout the interview, a couple of things, I've been writing down some things that stand standing out to me, and I'm going to reach out to you, you know, off of the air to invite you to participate with some programs that I'm going to set up for to invite you to help people that want to to this movement. of healing, and I'm going to call it a movement of healing because it's so unique. And your ability to, which when you were talking about the blocks, the past and the present, and the women, the mothers, how their posture, like their countenance, like they started standing up, like coming alive. And as mothers, we go through so much, and sometimes we lose our identity. And everybody, if we lose focus of God and who he is in our lives, we can lose our identity as his children. So I think it was really, really unique, the technique that you used with the blocks, the past, the present, and, you know, the future. And I would love an opportunity to, I just have to talk to you off the air about it. But let's finish with, because I don't want to take away, because this is your time. Do you have anything else that you want to share with us today?
Those who purchased the book on Amazon, I didn't want it to be just a book. I wanted it to become a group therapy virtual session for leaders. So it is a time of sharing what leaders go through. And again, the space is safe and confidential and it's transparent. So those who purchased the book, please email me letting me know that you want to do a group session. And within this group session, it's all about transparency because at the end of the day, leaders are human. They get frustrated, they get angry, and they are able to express, well, such and such happened to me. And when I come in contact with this dancer, there are some things about this dancer that triggers me just to go bonkers and crazy. So when you get this book, again, please email me and let me know, and I will start a virtual group, therapeutic group, where we can just talk about the experience as I relate it to movement. Because, again, the key word when this whole interview while you was talking to me, Stacey, and I'm going to say something about you before this interview is over. It is about healing, and God has blessed me and took movement to a whole different level of just healing everybody, whether it be domestic violence, whether it be praise dance, or whether it be autism. He was able to teach me how to heal all these people in these different facets. Again, Stacey, I thank you for this opportunity. I don't know if people realize how powerful you are on a personal level and how anointed spiritual warfare intercessor you are. When we spoke and you prayed over my life, when I said I felt the third heavens come down and just enwrapped around me, angels and the holy throne, I just want to acknowledge and highlight how powerful your ministry is and how anointed you are. And I can't thank you enough for allowing me the opportunity and just us connecting on a personal level. That really means a lot to me. So for those that are listening, I hope and pray that you are praying for this woman of God and how powerful she is. And she needs your prayers of support because leaders do experience spiritual attacks. So if you love this woman and you say that you support her, I hope and pray that you are praying for her within the midnight hour for her ministry because it's that powerful. So, again, please pray for her, keep her in your prayers, and encourage her. So, again, Stacey, thank you for your gifts and your talents and who you are. I appreciate it, and I love you, and I celebrate you.
Oh, I love you too. And now I'm smiling like you was, like me.
Absolutely.
I'm not used to that.
Eloquently.
Go ahead, work it. Eloquently speaking.
Eloquently speaking is an understatement. That needs to be an Old Testament Elijah/Elijah, powerful prophetic warrior title. But God gave you that name, and thank God for you because it goes beyond you eloquently speaking. You speak power and it manifests right there and then once you speak it. When I said this woman, when I spoke to her and she prayed for me, now I remember I was sitting on the stairwell and I was in tears. But when she spoke life and then started speaking scriptures and then prophesied to me, I felt my body elevate. I felt a spirit of peace. I felt a spirit of warmth and just a calmness and encouragement. So again, if you guys are following this powerful woman and you claim that you love her like you do, please show that love by supporting her in your prayer closet. It is that we need more people like her. Her transparency, her devotion, and her passion to pray for others. And I can't speak enough when I say it is important to pray for her, because people with that type of anointing experience heavenly attacks. And it is important for followers to pray for their leaders, because at the end of the day, we are human and we go through a lot of stuff, 10 times more because we are in the position of leadership and we're following God's word and we're trying to do the best that we can. But the enemy knows this, so he will use any strategic tool to tear us down, whether it be emotionally, physically, verbally. He knows the tactics and he knows our weaknesses, but it's not until the followers, the supporters come together as a community on a corporate level and begin to pray for our leaders. That's all. Thank you so much.
And, you know, thank you so much for saying that, because that really, I endorse everything you said, and it needed mm-hmm. to be said. You actually spoke my prayer to God, because I'm like, God, I really need some serious intercessors, some people that are willing to stand in the gap with me and for me, because it gets hard. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much. I love you. And
love you more.
One of the reasons, Angela, that I, you know, we're just being open with, I mean, this is how I do all of my shows. Like, my private pain for public profit is something that my listeners are used to hearing me say, because I always share my testimony. But the bulk of the interview, I wanted to share about you, and I'm getting ready to share about you now, but I'm about to share about us, because in Angela's Defeating Domestic Violence with Movement program, and my life changed, and there were some root issues that went very, very deep. And Angela was able to go there quickly through our conversations, because she's a word person. Most creatives, we are word people. And she was connecting the key word with the movement that I was making during our sessions. And I was so empowered, because I was powerful movement through dance, through expressions, but I didn't realize what I was doing. And the reason that I'm taking the time to say that is that as children of God, we are all weapons of warfare. And whether we lift our hands in worship, which is the yada praise, to extend our hands or to just throw your hands up, if you're in a position and you jump out your chair and you just put your hands up and you just want to say, hallelujah, God, I thank you. You are worshiping God. You are praising God. And God is sending ambushments against the enemy. So when you sign up for her classes, and I encourage you to just call her or email her and, you know, do a consultation with her. You will be so impressed by what she shares with you. But I personally participated with her program, and yes, she does give you homework, but the homework is going to take you deeper. So I'm going to say to you that are listening, if you are tired of going around in circles, or if you're tired of repeating these same merry-go-round experiences, and you want to stop, I truly, truly encourage you. Even though the topic is saying defeating domestic violence with movement, everybody is not in a domestic violence situation. This is the holiday season, and many people are, I mentioned earlier, it's not all about, you know, the dance. Some people just need somebody to talk to. She is a counselor, she is a therapist, and she is a dance instructor. But she
is a women's sister as well. Yes, hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Just saying
I'm
that
sorry,
you
were going in now. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfect. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to stay right here. I
okay.
just said that you have eyes of an eagle.
Hmm.
And that God allows you to see deep into the heart and soul of your clients, the people that you counsel. And this empowers you to give wisdom and words of knowledge to help go to the next level of healing, because that's what you did with me. So a lot of times, you know, sometimes you don't endorse a product until you try it. You know what I mean? And for those of you that are listening, like, I dealt with some core issues that was hindering me in my walk, and I thought I had it together, but I realized that I didn't. And when Angela was even talking about her book, How to Cure the 9 Deadly Illnesses with the Dance Ministry, she said how God told her to sit down until she get this thing right. Well, there are seasons where I had to sit down because I had to get some things right. But when I met her, I had no idea that I would share on the level in which I shared, or that much healing would break forth. So to just sum everything up, this is an anointed woman of God that is full of compassion. And we're living in a day and time where we have lost the artful skill of compassion, where we genuinely care about one another, and we just want to see people receive the help that they need. So whatever it is that you stand in need of, Angela Williams is a phenomenal counselor and dance instructor that is passionate about helping others. And I just wanted to share my personal experience from participating in her program, and I'm more aware of the movements that I am making on a daily basis. And the one thing that I learned, Angela, more than anything, like, I love the drums, and I never told you this in our sessions, but I love the drums, and I'm going to send the link to you. It's this one site that I go to on YouTube, and when I put it on, I just dance all over the place, and it's so free. It's not structured. I'm just letting the spirit move me. But when I the first, like, when that drum hit the first beat, that Zamar praise, I'm like, through everything that I learned with you, I am learning that I was born to dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's in me. And it's healing in my dance. So I'm going to stay connected. And I am going to, you know, I really want you to work on some episodes where God just give you different topics for you to come on the radio for 30 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. Talk to him about it. But that's what I, you know, that's what I was getting when I was talking earlier, but I didn't know how to say it. But this is important. And you are a missing piece of the puzzle that dance ministry needs to help birth healing. Because many people are ministering in their brokenness. And I pray that God will just release an anointing upon your book, that he will highlight your book, and that people will be drawn to your book, that your book will become a bestseller, not because we want to, I mean, he gave you the power to get wealth, yes, but may it become a bestseller because some of the best dancers around the world are going to be purchasing your book.
Amen.
Because they want to promote healing. Go ahead.
It's funny that you said the drums was, that you loved it so much. And I remember a highlight, one of my favorite highlights during the session is when you were dancing and I saw the power within your feet. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, she's doing this African dance. And the way that you did the movement, you were declaring and marking your territory as holy ground. And you used that movement of your feet to block off the enemy from invading your space. You use the movement of your feet to just let the enemy know you have no dominion in this place. Where my feet move, where they stomp, I have dominion and power over you, and you can't invade this area. Another highlight of our session is what I love, and it amazed me, when you were in your natural element. And I saw this glow around your face and your hair, and you had your fiery orange flag, and you were moving it around, and you were dancing. And I it was there right there. I wanted to stop the consultation and the therapeutic movement and just sit back and watch you. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to do no counseling. I wanted to sit back and engage in worship with you. So it was that powerful to see the transformation because you began to minister to me. So healing is definitely a passion and just a humble experience to see. And it's not me. I'm just a vessel that God is using. And once I surrender all my agendas, my plans, and let God step in and do his thing, it takes a whole different ball game. It's a whole different story, and it reminds me, okay, God, this is you. This has nothing to do with me. It is your anointing. I am just a vessel. You show up and you show out. So to experience a God moving anointing and transformation has always been a very humbling experience to me. And just to watch you move with that fiery red flag, and to see you smile, and to have you stand in your authority and your face glow with your natural hair, I said, oh my gosh, I don't want to counsel anymore. I want to sit and watch her dance in the next 45 minutes. So that was one of the highlights of our 4-week session. And I pray that we do have more, because I believe that that was just the beginning of your healing process. And we do have some more work to do. But once we're finished, I definitely believe God is just going to, and I know it's cliche and it's used a lot, but when we say God is taking you to another dimension, I don't believe people really understand what that means. Yes, new levels, new devils, but to experience that pain, to experience that process, to experience the cutting and the molding and the scrubbing away of the rough stuff and allowing God to just give you a new slate, to have him take you to that refinery or that baptism of fire, it's not an easy process. But once we get there and we allow God to show up and show out, it's just a miraculous, unbelievable, unspoken experience for anybody. And again, I want to thank you for just allowing me and trusting me to give you the process and seeing you go through the transformation. It was just powerful. And if I will continue to speak upon that highlighted session that blessed me so much. So again, thank you for trusting me and allowing me to help you through your process of transformation.
You're welcome. And, you know, thank you for just saying that, because the flags, I really wanted to continue, but I didn't want to, like, be out of order. So if you would have said, go ahead, I would have just because
well,
I really
next,
felt
next time
it.
I know.
Yes, and
next
I will definitely because while you was talking, what I'm hearing is a midwife. So you are a midwife to many people, but this is personally.
Wow.
Personal. You are a midwife for me. So you're going to help me birth this baby out through this dance ministry that God has birthed inside of me. Because there's just so much. The one thing I love about you is how you teach with the word of God, and you're a woman of prayer. That told me right there. But then you're not just knowledgeable in the word, you're knowledgeable with dance. You've earned your title. You have put in the work, and you're so graceful with what you do. Participating in your program, it encouraged me to take this thing further and to go deeper. So I have been, I have been studying on dance, but specifically on praise and on worship. So I do have some things that I'll share with you, later at another time. But I just want to say thank you so much for pouring into me, for blessing me. This is a divine connection. And for those of
Amen.
You that are listening, we thank you for joining us today. Angela will be one of my guest speakers for my retreat for 2021. More information will be coming forth, but she will be having some workshops during the retreat. So please stay connected to us. You will be hearing more from her. And right now, please join us on January the 4th, same time at 1:30 p.m. And we are going to meet of how to cure non-deadly illnesses within the dance ministry. And that is Angela Williams. And we invite you, if you are in the dance ministry, if you're in the beginning process, the middle process, if you feel burnt out, if you feel overburdened, you're discouraged, whatever it is, please join us on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network on January. Williams. So at this time, I'm going to ask you to give us closing remarks, and then we're going to close out.
Oh, my goodness. Again, thank you so much to leaders within the Praise Dance Ministry, to those who are experiencing domestic violence, those parents who are stressed with having autistic children. Prayer is that God would give you a calming spirit, a spirit of peace, a spirit of understanding and calm, and to let you know that you are not oppressed and defeated by a spirit of depression or oppression, but that God will be able to minister to you and that he will send his angels to minister to you in a time of stress and again give you a spirit of peace and calm and assurance that everything will be okay. This COVID-19 era was not a mistake. I truly believe that it was a channel, it was an area where God is reaching out and talking to his people to prepare them for 2021. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know for sure that COVID-19 was an era of preparation to fine-tune the frequency of the ear to hear from God. And I'll say it again, COVID-19 was an era where God used this tool, this experience to fine-tune the ear of prophets, to fine-tune a godly relationship of a preparation of what's going to happen in 2021. So I encourage you through these stressful times, believe in God. Don't lose your faith. Just believe for the best, and all his promises and manifestation over your life will come to pass. And thank you so much for affording me this opportunity to share my ministry with you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And this is Stacey Lunsford. You're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We want to thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any questions, any comments, please feel free to place them on the message board for the Block Talk Radio, or you can contact us directly on Facebook. And Angela, just give your contact information one more time before we go.
The best way to get in contact with me is my email address, awilliam4000@gmail.com. That's A as in apple, WILLIAM4000@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And for those of you that are wondering who Eloquently Speaking is, tomorrow I will be featured on Eloquently Speaking Open Mic and Lyrical 7, a wonderful spoken word artist and poet, is going to interview me. So you can get to know who Eloquently Speaking is, how I received that name, and the work that God has given me to do. Many of you, you hear me say the pastor of poetry, but I really haven't been sharing a lot of my poetry with you. So tomorrow I will be sharing some of my poetry, but I will be just talking about the work that God has given me to do locally and abroad in Africa and in India. So Angela asked for you all to pray for me earlier, and I encourage you to lift me up in prayer. And if you are available, to please take the time to join us for tomorrow's interview. And I thank you so much for your prayers. And that's going to be at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. You can dial in with the same number, or you can listen via the internet. And we give God the glory, and we give God the praise for this wonderful season of divine connections. And we speak divine immunity and divine protection over everyone, as we plead the blood of Jesus and decree Psalm 91, which is the prayer of protection. Now, God wants us as a body of believers to come closer to Him during this season of uncertainty, during this season of great loss, where many people.
Hello, I lost you again.
And just remember that no weapons formed against us shall prosper.
I love you all. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Angela, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Be blessed. Thank you. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.